You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we're limping towards the finish line on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. It's chaos here. And we got four Traeger grills fired up. I got Marvin reading emails on the air. I got Mario came back. Then he wants to be on the air telling about all the things we got mailed in. It's just, it's a mess here. But we got one more hour to go. And the crowning achievement, that big moment. Todd Fritz gets to do his Christmas-related sports names coming up a little bit later on. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. We'll get to more phone calls coming up. If you're watching on Peacock, you're noticing I have a festive sweater on. Todd has a festive onesie on. It's almost like that scene in Christmas Story with Ralphie. You know, when Ralphie comes down the steps when he's got his bunny outfit on. That's sort of what Todd has. Paulie has a onesie on as well. It looks good.
He goes, the dad goes, you look like a pink nightmare. Great.
So we'll get to phone calls coming up. Last night it was the Lakers getting their rings, and then they got beat by the Clippers there. All of a sudden, Paul George, playoff Paul, came back and looked impressive last night. I watched a lot of the Nets against the Warriors. Well, I watched first half. And then I was just curious about post-game comments. And Kyrie Irving didn't disappoint. He had this to say after the Nets blew out the Warriors.
As a young player, you think that scoring a bunch of points and doing a bunch of things, getting individual accolades are great. I definitely was going after those things. Now I really don't care for any of those individual accolades or goals. You know, it really doesn't bother me. I know I'm validated culturally.
Validated culturally. He is. I think he's validated culturally because he thinks the earth is flat and there were never dinosaurs roaming the earth. I think that's his cultural relevancy. Maybe Frank Isola knows, you know, he can understand this better than I can. Frank's been covering the NBA for a long time. He's, of course, ESPN's Around the Horn and Pardon the Interruption contributor, SiriusXM NBA Radio. The show is The Starting Lineup and he is your host. Where do you stand with the Brooklyn Nets this year, Frank?
By the way, you remember the player World Be Free, yeah, who was from Canarsie, Brooklyn. They say now that Kyrie's nickname is World Be Flat. I think that's a terrific nickname for him. The Nets look really good. And, you know, if you go back to the bubble last year, everybody says, well, you know, the Nets, all right, so they made the playoffs. They were going to get knocked out in the first round, which they did. But what last year meant for the development of guys like Caris LeVert, obviously Jared Allen, Joe Harris, and now you add – Kyrie Irving healthy, but more importantly, Kevin Durant. You know how this works, Dan. We haven't seen Durant, 560 days. And it's not that you forgot that he's a great player, but when you see him out there and you're thinking, man, when this guy is right, it's really LeBron and then Kevin Durant. Maybe some people think that Kevin Durant is a better player, certainly a terrific offensive player. If he's going to play like this and he's going to stay healthy, the Nets will be a tough team to beat 4 out of 7 times in the playoffs.
I'm a little bit more encouraged because you have Kevin Durant there, because when Kyrie went to Boston, we said the same thing about the Celtics. Yep. Boy, they grew up in the playoffs. Now you put Kyrie in there. Well, Kyrie didn't help them get any better, and, you know, they were happy to see him leave. I think having Durant there almost as a sounding board, or he can whisper in his ear, hey, let's get back, you know, it's you and me here together. We got to... Because they can make something great happen here. I just think it's a really delicate mix of either really good or really bad here, Frank.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's why after one game, it doesn't really matter what guys say. And, you know, we're all just like the first weekend of the NFL season. We always overreact to that first game. We're going to do that with the Nets against a Warriors team that's still trying to figure things out. But, you know, when Kyrie was in Cleveland, he had LeBron. So you're playing with, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time. So you're the number two guy there. That was perfect for him. In Boston, they needed him to be the number one guy. And I think he struggled with that. Now with Kevin Durant, you know, Durant, when he was on Golden State, he's surrounded by Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, they were okay with him being the guy. As long as Kyrie Irving is okay being that so-called Robin to Batman, it'll work out, because we know this from Kevin Durant. He's good with an ensemble cast. He had an ensemble cast in Oklahoma City where he was the number one guy. They go to the finals. Obviously, what they did in Golden State was tremendous. Think about this. Kevin Durant played 10 finals games with the Golden State Warriors. They were 9-1 in those games. That's how good Kevin Durant is. So and what I love about Durant, you listen to him now, except for when Charles Barkley asked him a question last night. He wanted no part of that, which was pretty funny. But for the most part, Durant has been very upbeat. His mood seems to change. I think now that he's playing basketball again, I think he wants to get back to that level, not only as a great player, but as a champion. I think he's shooting for what LeBron did last season. I just love his attitude. He seems like he has the joy back in playing basketball.
Convince me the Clippers could be better this year by what they did in the offseason.
I mean, you know, Luke Kennard got crazy money. He's a good playmaker. Serge Ibaka, who disappeared for a couple of years, and then the last two or three years with Toronto has been nothing short of outstanding. So I think he'll help. And
you could have said, Frank, you could have said, no, I can't convince you that would give you that out.
Well, it's funny, right? So Charles Barkley interviews, he had a great question for Paul George last night when he asked him about getting preferential treatment. Let's face it, in every line of work, the stars get preferential treatment. Your crew talks about it all the time.
Absolutely.
You get treated differently than everybody because you're the big star. We know how it works.
Absolutely.
But, you know, when he brought up the fact, because Paul George admitted, he said, well, you know, I know what it takes. So, yeah, sure, that's how it works. But the guys who had an issue with that, that's no longer a problem. To me, he was clearly referring to Montrezl Harrell, who's no longer on the team. There were chemistry issues. They didn't want to be in the bubble last year. And I think Lou Williams proved that when he went to Magic City just to get the wings, as you know. Mm-hmm. That's all he was there for was the wings. Yeah. So there were chemistry issues. They need Kawhi to play at a different level. If LeBron had lost a 3-1 series lead to Denver the way that Kawhi did, we'd be killing LeBron. Kawhi kind of got a bit of a pass last year, which he didn't deserve. He needed to play better.
Yeah, but nobody cares about Kawhi Leonard the way they care about LeBron. I mean, LeBron is polarizing because for a variety of reasons. But I think the bottom line is people don't want him infringing on Michael Jordan's territory. Like, no matter what he does, nope, he's not going to get there. There's always going to be the yeah, but with LeBron James. Kawhi, we just sort of go, you know, hey, Kawhi, he's a great two-way player. He shows up in the playoffs. Okay. There's nothing else about him. He's not must-see TV.
Yeah, and you're right. So everybody loves player empowerment. We've talked about this before. Yeah, player empowerment is great for the player because when things go wrong, they're never blamed. Doc Rivers got blamed in L.A. Look what James Harden is pulling right now with the Houston Rockets. So Kawhi leaves Toronto, goes to the Clippers. You know, they move heaven and earth to bring in his buddy Paul George. So now Kawhi Leonard is making demands. They trade all those assets to get Paul George. Look at the way that Paul George played in the bubble. Now, to his credit, he got $225 million extension. He was actually failing up in this case. But nobody said to Kawhi Leonard, hang on a second. You're the one that made us go out and get Paul George. He didn't show up in those last three games against Denver. You weren't very good in a game 7. You know who we'll blame? Let's blame Doc Rivers. We'll ship him out.
Talking to Frank Isola, the SiriusXM NBA radio show is called The Starting Lineup. He's the host. He's obviously a contributor to Around the Horn, and pardon the interruption. You know, I watched the Lakers last night, and I wasn't going to read anything into it. I just wanted to see substitutions. I wanted to see, you know, certain guys play with certain players. I didn't take anything away from it. Am I being naive by not taking anything away from that loss against the Clippers?
Well, I put a lot into last year's opening night when the Clippers beat them, and I thought the Clippers would give them a great run, and they won the Staples Center championship. The problem is the Lakers won the world championship. And I think, you know, for the Lakers, not having Rondo, he was huge, especially during the playoffs. And even Dwight Howard, you know, a pivotal moment in the NBA Finals was that hard foul that Dwight had on Bam Adebayo, which knocked Bam out for a game and injured him for the rest of the series. I don't really ever remember Dwight really being that physical, but he knocked Bam Adebayo for a loop, and we really never saw him again. The key will be LeBron James. And we know that LeBron will be ready by the end of the season, but can he stay healthy? So last night, LeBron rolling his ankle. We know that on December 30th, he's going to turn 36 years old. So all that stuff starts to add up, but I still have a lot of faith in him. You know, when he's at his best, he looks like he's about 28 years old, not necessarily 36. So I'm not going to jump to conclusions on the Lakers after one game.
ESPN NBA reporter Tim McMahon is reporting. A source says the Rockets are working with NBA office officials to review video of James Harden at a strip club. If the video circulating on social media is verified to be recent, it's a violation of the league's COVID protocols, which would put Harden's availability for tonight's opener in jeopardy.
It's disgraceful. It really is. And here's the issue that you have with Harden. He's another guy. I don't want Chris Paul on the team bringing Russell Westbrook. Then that falls apart. Now that the team looks like it's moving, trending toward not being a playoff team, he says, well, now I want to be traded. well, hang on a second. You were the one that was making all the calls. Now, when you don't like things, now you say that you want to be out of here. You don't show up for practice. So Steven Silas finally gets a head coaching job after about 20 years as an assistant. And look what James Harden does with this guy. If I were Steven Silas, I'd call up Mark Cuban and say, can I have my old job back in Dallas? It's a lot less stressful being an assistant coach in Dallas than running the Houston Rockets. At some point, the league needs to step in. James Harden, if this turns out to be true, I think he should be suspended because, Dan, he's holding the organization hostage, number one. Yeah. Number two, with all this stuff that he's been pulling, he's hurting his trade value, which is also hurting the Houston Rockets. It'll eventually work out for James Harden. I'm not so sure it's going to work out for the Houston Rockets.
One final thing, and I've been on this topic on and off for the last couple of years. We love lists. Lists drive me crazy. But when we put out the top 10 basketball players of all time, it feels like there should be a line of demarcation that starts 1970 on.
Yeah.
Because Wilt, to me, should be Babe Ruth, but he's not allowed to be Babe Ruth. We discredit those stats for some reason. Bill Russell, the greatest winner in team sports history, but not one of the top 10 players as far as, you know, stats and everything that he did. Love what he did, but he's not in there. Do I leave Oscar Robertson in there? Do I leave Jerry West in there? At some point, we're going to have a top 10 list where Karl Malone is not in there. Larry Bird might not be in there.
Yeah.
Wilt's not going to be in there. I don't know how you rank players because Steph Curry, is he going to be a top 10 player of all time?
Yeah.
Is Kevin Durant going to be a top 10 player of all time?
Yeah, I think we're both
becoming
that guy.
You got to take people out.
We're becoming that guy where now we have to defend Larry Bird in terms of being a top 10 player. You should get Sonny Hill, Mr. Philadelphia Basketball, to tell you some stories about Will Chamberlain. I mean, come on. At a time when everyone was allowed to do this, Dan, the guy averaged 50 points and 25 rebounds. If an NBA player did that for a week, people would say you should probably build a statue for the guy. So that was 50 and 25 for one season. Then when you go look at Michael Jordan, and what I love about Jordan, go look at the games played. Like, to the players, even of the 80s and the 90s, it was a badge of honor to be playing 82 games a season.
Yeah.
Now, if you play 82 games, you're looked at as you're some kind of weirdo. Well, clearly you have no cachet in the league because why would you be playing all the time? The idea isn't to play all the time. But I think you're right. As time goes on, we're going to forget some of these great players. And the game was different. It's now a three-point shooting game. You know, touch fouls get called all the time. You know, in the 80s and 90s, it was all out warfare. I looked up something the other day where, you know, there was a fight between Rick Mahorn and Charles Oakley. I think it was back in like 85 or 86. They both got fined about $2,500. Mahorn did get one game for the fight. So you weren't even penalized for fighting back in the day like you are today. To the league's credit, they basically legislated fighting out of the league, but it's just so different. The game's not as physical, so everyone's scoring averages are up.
Great to talk to you. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for contributing to the program this entire year. We appreciate it, Frank.
Thanks, Dan. You look great. Great sweater.
Thank you, buddy. Frank Isola. Frank knows fashion. SiriusXM NBA Radio. The show is the starting lineup. He's the host. Also contributes to Around the Horn, and pardon the interruption. A couple of phone calls in here. Chris in Arizona. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Just wanted to give my best of the year. I thought the Kevin Harlan versus Fritzy voice impersonation, and then where you had to ask him who was who, which we already knew that who was Kevin Harlan, who was Fritzy. And then my wife wanted to ask me to ask you a question about what's the biggest transition? We're having a baby number two. We have a 20-month-old. What's the biggest transition from child one to child two? Thanks, Dan.
Good luck. Congratulations, Chris. You know, when we got to three, then it was chaos. Two, it was just seize the moments where you help your wife, even if she doesn't ask for it. Just say, look, I'll take the baby, or let me do that. I found that, you know, your wife wants to do everything when they have the baby or babies. And we tend to stand back because there's certain things that we can't do physically, taking care of babies. But volunteer. Don't say, what can I do? Or no, don't say, can I do something? Just say, what do you need me to do? What can I do? That's really, really important. And patience. Patience and sense of humor with each other go a long, long way. Let me see what else. Doc in Ohio. Hi, Doc. What do you have for me today?
Hey, guys. Three quick, great, memorable moments. One was, and this is what makes your show the best. It's not always the guests, it's the sound bites. One was when you were talking about Ben Johnson winning the Olympics, being on the horse steroids, and when Polly launched into the horse gallop, I literally went out of my chair at work. It was the best. Another, yeah, it was too good. Also, went, yesterday, in honor of the holidays, my mother, 77-year-old Ethel, is a big fan. And yesterday I went back and watched the interview of Billy Bob Thornton with her talking about Bad Santa being drunk on the escalator during filming, which was great. And lastly, I think my number one highlight of the year was an 81-year-old Brent Musburger explaining to the boys what shoe shopping is. You guys are just too good. You guys are the best.
Thank
Have a great
you,
holiday.
Thank you. And our best to your mom as well. Thank you. That was funny because the Danettes, when Brent Musburger is talking about shoe shopping, and they're looking like, Brent Musburger is talking about shoe shopping. And I know because your level, as Dwayne Haskins has told me, when you go to the strip club, is usually shoe level. And that's how you came up with the expression going shoe shopping, because you start with the shoes right there in front of you. I thought the Kevin Harlan moment was really sneaky good, because Kevin was a great sport and he's got a distinct announcing style. And the fact that Todd, that you actually thought that maybe the audience wouldn't know the difference between you and Kevin Harlan.
I did. I thought I had to clarify just to make sure everyone knew, because I do such a great impersonation. They could be confused. Who's a...
We had a new addition to the impersonation repertoire. Todd's Mike Tyson laugh is so, it's just, it makes me laugh every single time.
Man, Dana White, he wanted me to fight sharks. I'm done fighting human beings. He wants me to fight sharks with friends like that. Who needs enemies, right?
Oh, that's spectacular.
You should just come hang out with me on the ranch. We could smoke weed together and be silly and hang out with my pigeons.
It crushes me.
Todd, you should do nothing else but this.
Yeah.
This should be it.
Just retire altogether.
Why don't you do your sports, your Christmas sports name as Tyson, and then laugh after every one of them?
That's what we could do.
Then you would have me. Man, can you smell that steak that's out there on the trigger?
So good.
Wow. We're kind of having a socially distanced Christmas party with the backroom guys that I wanted to have Alan have some steaks, and he did a great job. He's done a great job all year long. Every Meat Friday, Alan gives so much thought to it while also helping to run the sound part of the show here. And he's done a great job. But those steaks, they smell really, really good. All right, more phone calls coming up. If you want to weigh in with a sports-related name, Christmas sports-related name to rival Todd's.
As long as they're not too good.
Yeah, I know.
You got to go into the holidays not feeling depressed.
Well, the look on your face, your soul left your body when McLovin topped you at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like, I saw you, like, you were crushed.
And then he sends an email with the Haskins story with strip sack attire. I didn't need that.
I know.
I didn't need that.
I know. It's just people are kind of infringing on other people's territories here, and you know that quite well, Todd.
I've stolen many of Paulie's yes, things with the date and history and all that stuff.
Yes, you
National
have.
Days.
20 after the hour, let's synchronize our watches for everybody in case they have other things to do. We want to remind them that Todd will have his Christmas sports-related names.
We're getting a lot of tweets. I'm blowing up on the social media. Is that what the kids say? You blow up the celly? I don't know what you do on the social media.
About 20 minutes. 20 minutes or so, we will bring that magic to your ears.
Mixed reviews, by the way, on the anticipation level.
It's 20 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Ever wonder how far that extra mile is? How about driving a Mercedes-Benz van to find out? Got this. This is a great contest. It really is. It's wonderful. Mercedes has been a wonderful sponsor. Can't say enough about how great their cars are. But the Sprinter van that they brought in a couple of days ago, I went, whoa, it is tricked out. And it's ready for you. One of our listeners is going to win this Sprinter van. It's equipped with TVs. I think there's six TVs in there, incredible sound system. They got a place for your grill on the back as well. All the information, entry details, foxsportsradio.com, or better yet, go to danpatrick.com. The sweepstakes end January 24th, 2021. Don't have to buy anything. Just go in, sign up, and enter your name. But you go the extra mile, you'll find that with Mercedes. The Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or the versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris, each tailored to match your work or play lifestyle. You can enter. DanPatrick.com sweepstakes will end January 24th, 2021. Good luck.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Got an update on James Harden. Tim McMahon, the ESPN NBA reporter, has been a frequent guest on this show the last couple of months, had some information about a video, social media circulating about James Harden at a strip club without a mask on. And then he follows this up by saying, from the NBA health and safety protocols, failure or refusal to comply with the protocols may subject players and team staff to disciplinary action by the NBA or his or her team, which may include a warning, a fine, and or a suspension. The NBA is investigating to see if this is a recent video of James Harden. Go the extra mile, your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van you could win in Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules, go to foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com. And you have to do so by January 24th, Mercedes-Benz fans. All right, well, some phone calls here coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. I did want to mention this story. You know, it's not a big story, but it felt a little bigger to me. Darryl Bevell is the Lions' interim head coach, and he made a decision on Monday to fire his special teams coordinator, Braden Combs. And this came after Combs, who went against Bevell's decision to punt in the fourth quarter of Sunday's loss to Tennessee, going for a fake instead. Bevell said that he told Combs, it's spelled C-O-O-M-B-S, to punt. And he defied the head coach's wishes, called a fake that ultimately came just short of converting the first down. They fired him. If they get the first down, does he fire him? Plus, why does it always have to be something black or white? So it's so, hey, I got to fire you. How about you just say, you know what? Don't do that again. Like, does it have to be where you fire the guy at Christmas with two games left and you're with the Lions? But he got fired, and Darryl Bevell said it was an agonizing decision, something that really was really hard for me. You know, I thought it would be important to think on it a lot. You know, I really thought about it basically all night long. Okay. I mean, this guy's 34. And a Lions source told ESPN that the special teams coach was not a cultural fit and that the fake punt was the final straw for issues that had been percolating. The head coach declined to give the explanation for going for the fake and also whether this was an isolated incident or part of a pattern since Combs' arrival from Cincinnati last season. All right. Well, if he needed a reason, he got a reason. But I'm just thinking, there's two games left. The guy thought that, you know what? Punters will tell you. They sort of have a green light. When they go back to punt, now, unless the coach goes, hey, we're going to, you know, call for a fake punt. It's hard to call for a fake punt unless you know exactly what the defense is going to look like. So I have to go, hey, let me survey the scene here. Oh, gosh, man, they're retreating back for a return. Pat McAfee, one of the great punters in history, he said, yeah, well, if you decide, take matters into your own hands, it better work. But the fact that this special teams coach said, hey, let's go for it, you know, and there are other priors, They needed a reason to fire him, and then they fire him. I just thought, you know what? It's two games to go. Unless he was that toxic and there were all these other things going on, and we got to get rid of our special teams coach here. Like, what's wrong with the Lions this year? And that special teams coach. Oh, he's holding him back? Yep. Yeah, see.
Yeah, I mean, that part of the article for me that's really telling is where he said it wasn't really a cultural fit and there were other issues percolating. You know, if there are issues behind the scenes and you're kind of fed up with it already and then you're like, hey, dude, punt, and then this guy goes off and does his own thing, I'd probably be like, all right, man, just get out.
If it got to that point where he was willing to do this, then he should not have been on the field. If you thought, like, oh, my God, like you're going for a fake punt, you're going to defy me? And did you fire him right after the fake punt? Because, I mean, if you really want to be dramatic about it, I just thought with two games to go, man, it seemed drastic. Yeah, Paul.
That's what I was wondering if Daryl Bevel thought, this will be a move that says, this is my team. I'm a head coach. I'm not afraid to make the tough moves. That's the only thing I could think about it reasoning-wise.
Well, Daryl Bevel's not keeping the job. Your special right. teams coach is not keeping his job. Nobody's keeping their job. You know, they're all going to get fired there. But, I don't know, it just seemed like, wow, all right. Seemed kind of drastic, but then a Lions source said to ESPN, you know, he was not a cultural fit. Ann in Texas. Hi, Ann. Thanks for holding. What do you have for me today?
Good morning, Dan. I'm here supporting the Hudat Nation.
Hudat.
Just so glad that Drew has made it back. It was so exciting watching him and Tom Brady go back and forth earlier in the season before the injury. And so here's a little Santa name for you. They're the Santa Saints because they're bringing all the goodies to us kids.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you, Ann. Good luck with that. Santa's Saints. Get a couple of phone calls in here. Brad in North Carolina. Hi, Brad. Welcome back. What can we do for you today?
Hey, DP. I just wanted to kind of weigh in on the audience discussion. And, you know, I know this is only an award-nominated program, but in my book, nobody does it better than you guys. And a reason for that is because you let us in. You let us see behind the curtain. You let us have personalities. We've got the retired cop in Detroit. You've got not exactly Atticus Finch. You got Ted in Tampa who hates his offensive lineman. And you have me who calls in and makes fun of you because you thought a root canal was surgery. So just wanted to call. Wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Happy belated Hanukkah to the back row, guys. And I'll look forward to talking to you guys next year.
Thank you, Brad. Yeah, this is our final show. Once COVID hit, I said to the Danettes, let's show up for work, whether it's in studio or via Zoom, because I don't think our audience has ever needed us more without overstating our importance, but we understood our importance. And we understood when this first started out in March, we had no idea, but we were trying to figure it out to be able to present the scenarios, the stories, the issues, the interviews, and we just kind of, you know, we were adapting every single day as well, and you were along for the ride, but we never took it for granted that, you know, what our role was. We knew what our role was, and there were a lot of things to talk about that we could have talked about, but I chose to keep it with what we do best. Having fun, sports-related, pop culture, whatever it is, we were a diversion. And we chose to try to be a diversion. And there were a lot of headlines that didn't have much to do or anything to do with sports. And you could get that elsewhere. I wanted you to know that this was almost a safe spot, safe haven, where you could come in and we were going to be talking about things that you could relate to or that you needed to know or that maybe put a smile on your face. That was really important. But I can tell you it brought us closer together because every single day we were talking about there were serious issues, sports-related, going on. And we discussed and discussed and discussed again. What's the right guest? What's the approach here? What do we want to leave people with? And to be able to have those conversations where a lot of times we can just come in and do a show. We've gotten to that point where I just know what the Danettes are going to do. They're so good at what they do. I just let them do their job. I come on the air, and then we just go for 3 hours. Those were shows that I'm extremely proud of because we did factor you in every single day. Like, what do you want to hear? What do you need to hear? What's important? Who do you want to hear from? Make you laugh, make you smile, make you angry, make you think. That's the beauty of this, to be able to do that. And it's never, you know, never lost on us. And then we were with YouTube, and your support was unbelievable. And Peacock came in. They saw the number of people who were watching, and they said, we want to be in business with you. And I said, it has to be free for this audience. And Peacock said they just sign up, and it is free for them. That's important. But, you know, we've learned a lot about each other. And I'm talking about me with the Danettes and me and the Danettes with you, the audience. But that's what strengthens us. That's what makes us great. That's what makes coming in every single day. And at my age, I don't have to do this, but I need to do this. I want to do this. And we are for a few more years at least. But thank you for what you've given us. Hopefully we've given you a lot in return. We'll take a break here. Yes, it's that time.
Yeah.
You know, I did all...
Running out of time, I was getting a little nervous. I'm looking at the clock.
Let me see you follow that, Todd.
Wow. Yeah. That was pretty deep.
It was.
It was very emotional. And now you just left me hanging out to dry here, basically. I can't copy those emotions.
But you know what we do? We just... You know, let's just blow by it. We don't do the names.
Well, it doesn't make sense. You were just talking about how much you appreciate the listeners and the
viewers.
I know,
and then therefore, I shouldn't do the names.
And then we crap on them by me doing this at the last few minutes of our last show.
Yes, Todd. Or yes, Paul.
It's like the opening act is going after the headlining band. The Beatles just played. Rolling Stones just played, and now they're bringing up Goo Goo Dolls.
Thanks for coming to the party. Have some poison to drink back.
Okay. We're going to come back, and if you're watching on the live look-in, we're going to have steak because that's I'm staring at the monitor right now. I told the big German, I want to have a monitor that shows the grilling area because some of the backroom guys, and Mario is here today. Mario came out and he tried to steal some food a couple of weeks ago, and he burned his hand. So I'm watching on the monitor.
That was awesome.
It was so good. He was over by the Traeger, and all of a sudden he opens it up and he puts his paw in, and then I see him go, and I go, yes, I got you.
You break that 12-15 rule.
I got
what
you.
Happens.
I know. All right. Todd's Christmas names next, right after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Since this is our final show of this year, what a year. Here's to happier, healthier 2021. Thank you for being a part of this program, Dan and the Danettes, and all the great people behind the scenes. This Arcade Fire goes out to you. Oh, these meet Fridays, and the fact that we won't be here on Friday, it's a meet Wednesday, and that steak is pretty good, Todd. Pretty good stuff.
Fabulous stuff.
Yeah.
And that buffalo chicken's ridiculous.
Yeah. Twice baked potato. I'm good with the once baked, but it's a twice baked potato.
Why not? It's the holidays. Get crazy.
Yeah. It's so hopefully if you're watching on Peacock, you're living vicariously through us. As you can see, the grilling area that we have, we got a fire burning. And, you know, it's just two special friends together.
Who love each other but don't particularly care for each other.
Well, I love you. I don't like you.
Right. I know. I was just kind of playing off on that a little bit. But I think you like me now, too. You won't admit it publicly. But, you know, in a quiet moment with a lie detector, I think you love me and like me. No, maybe not.
I would take a lie detector test.
To prove that you don't like me, just love me.
If you want to get a lie detector test in the new year, and then you can have, you know, have somebody ask me questions, do you love Todd?
That I believe.
Do you like Todd?
I'm trying to get the like part up to where it needs to be.
Oh, we got the T-shirts in. We got the I don't love you, but I like you T-shirts.
I got to get one of those.
And we got the Christmas sports. Did you see the T-shirt?
No, I have not.
Yeah.
I'm totally going to wear that home.
If you get up off and, you know, out of your desk.
I'll get it, but there's going to be no time for my sports names, though.
No, I'll have somebody there. You know, maybe Alan or Marvin could get it.
That'll be perfect.
That's weird. Todd's having one of the backroom guys do something.
I don't like to get it.
Yeah, he doesn't know their names.
That's odd.
One of the guys.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to delegate one.
Maybe Weeks, the cameraman. Maybe he can do it. And Weeks didn't get fired this year, which is pretty amazing. All right, Todd, this is the moment.
I got to hold up the shirt first.
Okay, that shirt just came in. That's available on danpatrick.com. And it's got the Christmas sports-related names there. And it looks great. And then what else do you have there, Todd? That's the I love you, but I don't like you t-shirt.
That may sell a lot.
Yeah.
People have that sentiment.
Well, I think people can relate to that. You know, your wife may say, I love you, but I don't like you.
I get a lot of that.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm
just saying, I get a lot of that, though, at home.
All right. Okay. Are you ready with the Christmas
switch? Just read them quickly, or how do you want me to handle it?
It's your moment here. It's your moment. It's so important to you.
It's important. Okay, here we go. Rakeem Christmas. Mary Decker Slaney, retired American middle distance runner, in case you're wondering who that is. Martin St. Louis, Chestnut McLaughlin. Beth Lehem Potter, British Olympic triathlete. Jack Snow.
Wait a minute, how many names do you have? Because you're going really fast.
I got like 70. That's why I'm going fast. I want to get them in. Dave Frost, former Angels pitcher. Chili Davis, Hugh Freeze. Nativity Thurmond, Kyle Rudolph. Rob Reindeer. Donner Mattingly. Joy Fawcett, retired American soccer player. Joy Fawcett. Julio Jones. Can I get away with that? Julio Jones.
Just keep moving.
Darius Slay. Cole Beasley. Ugly Smith Sweater. Michael Bublé Gabbert. Adam Silver Bells or Silver and Gold. James White Christmas. Jimmy Clausen. Chimney Connors. That was a tricky one. Chimney Connors?
Tennis player Jimmy Connors.
Chimney Connors, I went. Gary Reefsons, if I had a lisp. Gary Reefsons.
No, that's a former Giant linebacker, Gary Reefsons.
Manger Harris. Instead of Major Harris, Manger Harris. Star of David Robinson. Julius Peppersmint. John Hanukkah. U.S. pro golfer John Han. You familiar with him? Hanukkah. Okay. Le'Veon Bell. D'Angelo Hall. Joe Hornament. Sterling Shepard, UConn Cornelius Bennett. You know who UConn Cornelius was, right? From the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the guy that was looking for the silver and gold. UConn Cornelius. Okay. Antonio Parson Brown.
You got 20 seconds.
Andy Midnight Mastersmith. Midnight Mastersmith. Ron Egloff. Raphael Landis Toy. St. Nick Foles. Randy Cross. Rick Upchurch. Priest Holmes. Jesus Shuttlesworth. Lynn Swan. Goose Gossage. Golden Tate. Larry Bird. I got to give you a few more here.
Six.
Denny John McClain.
Four.
Ralphie Sampson.
Three.
Riddick Bowe.
Two.
Jacob Marley DeGrom.
One.
Jacob Marley DeGrom.
Is it getting better or getting
worse?
There's
a few other ones.
No. You lead with your big ones there, and there's no leftovers here.
No leftovers.
Unlike a Meat Friday, there's no leftovers here. You know what? Save them for next year. Because I'm sure they won't be relevant then either.
Can I just give you two more quick ones?
No.
Two quick ones. Carl Anthony coming to Towns and Alex Grinch. Who's Alex Grinch? The Oklahoma Sooners defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch. That's his name.
All righty. Thank you, Todd.
Alex Grinch.
Thank you, Todd. Barry in Long Island. Hey, Barry, top that.
Hey, Merry Christmas, fellas. I do happen to have a couple that Todd missed.
Okay.
There's a... Wade Knoggs, Sled Williams, Jay Cutlery, you have to carve your turkey there, Mary Povich,
turkey,
Reese Hernandez, JoJo, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, and we have our first team. NHL is coming back. The New York Rangers. Happy
Thank
holidays.
You, Barry. Thank you, Barry.
I think I won that.
No, you did. You were better than Barry.
In quantity and quality.
And Barry is probably, you know, going to hate himself now.
He's going to have to lick his wounds
yes,
in
he
the
is.
Last couple of minutes.
Ryan in Honolulu, your good friend from Hawaii.
My
Ryan.
Boy.
Yes. Yes, Ryan.
Hello, ho, ho, ha, Dan. Merry Christmas. All right. So what's going on today? Not much or?
No, not much, Ryan.
All right.
Let's go. Speed it up.
All right. All right. We got NFL insider Ian Rappaport, a heavyweight champ, Evander Holyknight. We got some soccer ones here. A Neymar in Paris Saint-Germain.
Oh, my God.
Zlatan. Ebenezer Scrooge.
No.
That's not acceptable.
No way.
If I would have said that.
No. I did. I had to cut him short, Todd.
He was cutting him shorter.
No way, man. He crushed. Ian Rappaport was great.
I do like that one.
That one and
Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Him and Manger? Manger? What was it?
Something about him and Manger.
Wait,
Ryan, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Give
me some more, guys.
No. Give me the Zlatan again.
Zlatan? Even is a Scrooge. Even is a
Scrooge. No. Why are you laughing at that? And I love Ryan, but you can't believe you guys are laughing.
This is killing
that.
Todd.
What are you laughing at? That doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. What's funny about it?
Go ahead, Ryan.
That's ridiculous.
Okay.
All right. I got Chiefs coordinator Eric down the chimney. I have Tampa Bay Rays superstar Barandi Eggnogs Arena. We've got...
I would have stopped with Zlatan. No, thank you, Ryan. I would stop with Zlatan.
Ian Rapoprison. That's the one you should have got out
good.
On that one.
That's pretty good.
I like it a lot.
Zlatan?
No.
Nazer Scrooge?
I'm insulted if you guys laughed at that.
John in New Zealand. Hey, John, good to have you back. How's New Zealand?
Good day, mate. I think I might love Barry in Long Island, but I like... The man in Honolulu.
Ryan in Honolulu. Ryan did okay. But, John, thank you for calling in. Thanks for all your support this year and hope things are well there. Todd just sent me a limerick about Dwayne Haskins. Yeah, sure. Why not? No.
Did.
Yeah. Go ahead. Dwayne Haskins went to a strip club, didn't have a mask on. And Todd, known for stealing limericks, and he's
got
one. This
one I didn't steal. Yeah. Okay. Teammates trust he'll have to regain. Not considering others is kind of vain. Do we really need to ask if you're wearing a mask? Can't stop him from making it rain.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John.
Okay. Look, that was workable.
Do you have something final, you guys, to say to the audience? Anything? I know I've been the one that has been saying a lot of things there. Okay. So nobody cares about
you
the audience.
You kind of said it.
Oh, okay.
We can't top the
Yes, McLevin.
I looked it up. Raheem Christmas last played in the NBA in 2016, and he's in New Zealand now.
Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Todd, I'll start with you. What did you learn today?
Okay, your opinion of last night's NBA results. It's just one game. It doesn't mean anything. Easy with the overreaction.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. McLevin?
You and Todd are best friends.
Yeah, we are. But that'll quickly end after today's
show.
Why?
We were hanging on the tent a little
while. Seton O'Connor.
Ryan in Honolulu's got a real future.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Paulie?
The winter of Toddler and DP. There should be a 30 for 30 on the past 3 weeks.
What did I learn today, Todd?
After getting that new deal with the Clippers, Frank Isola says Paul George found a way to fail up. Ouch.
Masterclass offers over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters, top of their field. This holiday, buy an annual membership, get another annual membership for free. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick. Last show, thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you in the new year. Seton Pauly, Fritz, and McLovin, yours truly, Dan Patrick Show.